This podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. It is not intended to cause or induce breach of an existing agency agreement.
Hello?
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 This is the Vancouver
Commercial
Real Estate Podcast.
Welcome back to the Vancouver Commercial Real Estate Podcast. I'm Corey Wright.
And I'm Melissa Moretti.
And Melissa, that is the second week in a row I've accomplished by not yelling the word commercial into my microphone. So I'm trying to create a habit of just saying Commercial Real Estate Podcast, not yelling or emphasizing the word commercial like I previously did.
I feel like there's a lot of tranquility
it does.
These days.
It's fall. The leaves cozy. Are all, yeah, it's very cozy. Mm-hmm. And today you mentioned how it was cold. So obviously, people can't see us. I've got a zip jacket, or I guess zip sweater.
Yeah.
Almost done up.
Sweater vest.
Sweater vest. It's not a sweater vest. No, it's a
one. It's a vest with sleeves.
It's a vest. Oh, it's just, no, it's warm and cozy. And you've got a pea coat
underneath my
and a vest on. Yeah. A pea coat and a vest. Mm-hmm. It's that time of year. And you've got your Nespresso. Mm-hmm. Is that the holiday flavored Nespresso yet?
No, I can't stand that stuff.
Oh,
just coffee.
Just coffee. Just coffee. It feels very warm and fall-like in here. Big news this past week. I guess we got lots we can talk about. First off, interest rates dropped 50 basis points to 3.75 is the overnight posted rate, which I think that was to be expected. And on the show today, we have Pat Wood from our William Wright Victoria office, who is our unofficial yet official in-house economist, far smarter than I'll ever be. So we have Pat on the show today to talk interest rates, and we'll probably get a little bit into politics, if I'm pretty sure, all about what this means. So we're going to dig into that in the actual podcast. We won't go too much on that. But also this past week, we had the provincial election, which for the second time, I think in the past three elections, the winner is the Green Party. They've got two seats. And right now, someone's got 46 and someone's got 45. So whatever side the Green Party goes on is going to get stuff passed. So obviously, there's a lot of mail-in ballots yet to be counted. There is some recounts going on. So these numbers could all change. But as of right now, if things stay the same, we've got 46 seats for the NDP, 45 for the Conservatives, 2 for the Greens. Whichever one they go, whatever side they go on, it's going to win. So the Green Party has successfully won the election yet again. Huh. Only in the province of BC do we have these predicaments. So we're still waiting the election results because there's, I think at one point I thought it was 49,000. Then I think I read 64,000 mail-in ballots. And there's three ridings, according to Keith Baldry on Global, that are NDP right now. But depending on those mail-in ballots, if they were to swing to Conservative, we have a Conservative government. So we'll have to see what happens. I think the count starts on Saturday. We're going to find out the results probably on Monday or Tuesday. There could be some other recounts going on. So it still could be a little while, is what we're trying to say. Mm-hmm. We still don't know who is going to form the government in BC yet.
Which seems a little wild. We've been waiting, it feels like, weeks.
It's been, it's been a while. It's been a week. Yeah. But they've been campaigning for a while. So it feels like we've been part of this for a while.
Yeah.
And so that's, we'll find out what's going to happen here pretty quick. Probably on a more exciting matter. And again, we're not ignoring the political aspect of this. We're always going to bring on a guest shortly here to talk about how, whatever the results are, how that's going to impact commercial real estate. But we were talking about this before we hit the record button. And at my house on Fridays, we always order pizza.
Pizza Friday.
Pizza Friday is a go-to. So we were talking about how we change up the it's not Panago every Friday. It's like Panago.
Different location.
Domino's. We'll throw some me and Ed's in there.
See, now that really surprises me. I would think you pick a pizza and you're like, this is the pizza.
Well, but
good for you that you're, you know, you're trying all the different.
Well, we're changing the pizza outlet.
Yeah.
But we're still ordering the same pizzas from the different outlets. So it's a matter of going from there. And then we're talking about my favorite pizza is Wildflower Pizza, which they have a location. I'm going to plug them here.
Are you sponsored?
Are we I wish we were sponsored. If we were sponsored by Wildflower Pizza, I would wear Lululemons to the recording. So I'd eat so much of the pizza. So they have a new location in Langley and a plate location on Hastings and Gamma in Burnaby.
Oh.
And I know I'm going to botch this. And I have to apologize to Clay. Clay's the founder of it. I have to apologize to him. I'm probably going to botch this up. But it's like sourdough, kind of like Napoleon style pizza.
Oh, wow.
So I'm
interested.
It's amazing. It's the best pizza I'll ever have. So we're pushing Clay. Selfishly, there's a location, a 7-Eleven closed down right by my house. So I called Clay. I'm like, hey, I got your third location for you. So selfishly, I was really pushing. I think it's a good location for anyone in that area. I was pushing it really hard to try to get a Wildflower Pizza just down the street from me.
Well, they'll do really well if they're just down the street from me.
I'm pretty much, I could pay the rent.
Yeah.
I'd order so much pizza, I'd probably pay the rent. Yeah. But my midsection would suffer. So it's probably not a bad thing that they're not next door to me. Although selfishly, I'd like to see them next door. So we're talking about Pizza Friday.
Pizza Friday.
I think today might be Panago's rotation because we haven't done Panago. Last week was Domino's. The week before that was Wildflower. And the problem is when I go to Wildflower, they've got so many great options that I can't just order like one. So I think last time I ordered four.
Ooh.
And because we picked up the pizzas in Burnaby after hockey, we got to drive back to Coquitlam. Usually one, if not two of the four pizzas doesn't make it home in one piece.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah. So that way we're usually eating a full pizza on the drive home in preparation for our next pizza when we get home.
Yes, absolutely.
Yep. So there you go.
I have to know though, what's the order? You said you're ordering the same pizzas at different locations.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I'll be honest. You know, I'm a really Panago used to have ground beef. So I would do double chicken, double ground beef.
Oh.
Yeah. On the gluten-free crust. Now, I'm not a gluten-free type of guy, but the gluten-free crust there is so good.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's really good. It's like thin. If you don't like it, it might taste like cardboard to you, but if you like it, it's really good. So I do that with like the cheese dip, the nacho, the cheddar cheese dip they have. You're making a really weird face. It's amazing.
I don't know.
I'll typically take that customized pizza and I'll order it from all the places. And then you get you get Domino's and you get the thin crust where they cut them in squares. And they know how to do thin crust pizza really, really good at Domino's. So we'll get Domino's there. And then we'll eventually every now and then go to Me and Ed's. We do more Me and Ed's, but it feels like it's like $100 a pizza. But it's, I'm not saying it's not worth it. But Me and Ed's, you got to go half and half. Half shrimp and smoked salmon. I know you're making a funny face. Trust me. Half shrimp and smoked salmon on one side, thin crust with the ranch dip. And the other side, double chicken, double ground beef.
I need to be convinced. Next week, I think you need to bring a pizza.
We record
at 10 a.m., but
yeah, we could do that.
We
got to get the Wildflower pizza. Because I don't think I've ever sent somebody to Wildflower who's been disappointed. Like when we opened our Langley office, and I don't want to say this bared any decision on our part, but maybe it had slight decision impact on our decision. But the Wildflower is like just down the street from our new Langley office. So during construction, I'd go over there and see Clay and I'd get like six or eight pizzas and I'd bring them back. And he probably knows I probably ate two of the six. So really it's four for everybody else. And then because I'm still in the Langley office, I got to eat dinner. So I'd go back to Wildflower to pick up pizza to bring it back home. And I always get enough Wildflower pizza that I can actually have it for breakfast. So it's like a Wildflower weekend some days. It's like a Wildflower weekend. Yeah, you got to try the Wildflower pizza there.
Okay.
If I knew the website, I'd say it, but it's Wildflower Pizza. And hopefully Clay listens to this and maybe he'll drop off some free pizza for us next Friday at 10:30. What's our address here, Melissa?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll text to Clay.
Okay.
But yeah, so that's my weekend coming up.
Fantastic.
Now that I've rambled on about that, let's get to our interview today with Pat Wood of our William Wright Victoria office. And we're talking economy. Enjoy, guys. This podcast is presented by Impact Commercial.
Impact Commercial, John, Alan, the team over there are fantastic. They've all been on the show.
They have, yeah.
Friends of the show.
Great guys.
Wealth of experience. They can help with all your commercial financing needs.
Whether it's owner-occupiers, land development funds, commercial investments, or multifamily, these guys got you covered.
And they recently obtained their CMHC correspondent lender status.
So for all your commercial lending needs, visit them at impactcommercial.ca.
That's impactcommercial.ca.
.ca
And we're here today with Pat Wood of William Wright Commercial Victoria, calling in from New York. Pat, how you doing today?
I'm pretty good. Yourself?
Good, good. Well, we appreciate carving out some time. And like we always say, you're the official, unofficial economist at William Wright Commercial, far smarter than I will ever be. And we had a big announcement this past week. We had a 50 basis point drop there, which brings our overnight post rate down to 3.75. We've got another meeting December 11th, I believe, which I think optimistically, or maybe you know, people can kind of pencil in 50 more basis points. So we wanted to unpack all of this. The economy numbers, inflationary numbers. What does this all mean for commercial real estate? And then we have to turn to our in-house guy, Pat Wood. But before we get to that, Pat, you've been on the program before, but for those listeners who may not have heard your previous episodes, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and how you got into commercial real estate?
Yeah. So I've been with William Wright since 2021, specialized in the self-storage field. I came to William Wright from a previous career in commercial appraisals, where I also specialized in self-storage. So Victoria team has a lot of experience doing self-storage now. I think we're very close to the $200 million mark in lifetime storage deals.
Unbelievable.
Hopefully with a couple little ones here before year end, we'll cross that mark. Yeah, so we've just been working on that for the last, I guess, 3 and a bit years here.
Well, Pat, we're thrilled to have you and everyone over there in the Victoria office. You guys do a phenomenal job. 50 basis points. Overnight posted rate. Yeah. Drops to 3.75. What is happening?
Well, I think the Bank of Canada is realizing that they were probably slow on the draw with their cuts. I definitely lost a burrito bet in our office if they would cut in April or not. And they didn't, and they should have. So I think they're playing catch up right now. I mean, we saw the inflation numbers drop to 1.6%, I believe, for September, which is actually a little scary from like a macro point of view, because if you realize that rents are starting to fall across Canada and mortgage interest rates are starting to fall as well, and those two portions of the inflation rate haven't shown up in Bank of Canada's data yet, we're slipping into the 1% or less than 1% inflation, which means we're getting real close to deflation, which is terrifying for the Bank of Canada.
Now, can you explain for our listeners there what deflation is? Obviously, everyone knows what inflation is, but can you maybe elaborate on deflation?
Yeah, so I mean, inflation, like we've heard all of this rhetoric about, oh, inflation is slowing. Prices, you know, inflation is only at 1.6%, but that still means that prices are increasing. And it's just at a slower rate. Where deflation is where prices are actually going backwards. So what is $10 today? Maybe $9.95 tomorrow, and so on and so forth. And what's difficult and scary about deflation is it makes the consumer not want to spend money, because why would I buy something today that I know will be cheaper tomorrow? And once you stop consumer spending, it stops the growth in the economy, the GDP growth stops, and you have to get into much more drastic measures than we're already in to get the economy going again.
So when we're talking about drastic measures, we're, you know, from a government standpoint, are we talking about like further rate cuts to try to stimulate spending back into the economy where they slash the overnight posted rate?
Yeah, so you'll see further rate cuts, but also, you know, there's other tools that the Bank of Canada has, which is quantitative easing or quantitative tightening, where they can either take money out of the economy or put more money into the economy. And quantitative easing, which is loosening the money supply up, the Bank of Canada essentially prints money out of thin air, is inflationary. So you would see the Bank of Canada not only cutting rates, but also trying to make money more available for people to borrow to get the economy going again. The problem is when you're in deflation, it's really a hard cycle to flip out of, because if I told you that if you waited 3 months, that car you're about to buy is going to be $4,000 cheaper, you'd probably wait 3 months.
Yeah, absolutely.
And to get people to change that mindset is the hardest thing. So that's what the Bank of Canada, I think, with this 50 basis cuts, we're kind of calling it a jumbo cut, is doing. And you know, it's interesting to see what the overall reaction was, because the Bank of Canada rate's great. You know, that's what our variable rates are based off of. That's what our credit card interest rates, prime, all that's based off of. But your mortgage is actually more predicated on the 5-year or 10-year bond. And I don't know if you watched what the 5-year did after the Bank of Canada cut rates by 50 basis points, but it wasn't what some people had expected.
Can you elaborate a little bit more on that? What happened when it went up?
The bond rate went up. Not a lot. So it means that the bond market, which we consider bond traders to be smarter than almost everyone else in the economy, whether that's true or not is a different argument, but that's kind of how they're referred to as the smart money. This is already factored in. They knew that there was going to be a 50 basis point cut. You didn't see any movement on the bond rate, slightly up rather than down. And that's what's going to deal with your 5-year terms on your mortgages. So we're not going to see fixed rate mortgages fall until those bond rates fall. And in the last 45 days, they've actually ticked up a fair amount.
Now, what would cause that to go up and the BOC rate to come down? They're betting on rates will actually increase with down the road?
Yeah, I mean, the 5 years looking at longer-term money, I mean, I wouldn't call it long-term money. It's not a 30-year. But they're guessing on where they think the rates are going to be on average over the next 5 years. So although the Bank of Canada terminal rate might be lower, I think they're signaling that they think this is going to be inflationary and inflation could start running a bit again.
So now we have a lot of this data that comes out and we talk about inflation numbers and the target that the government wants to see and stuff like that. The numbers that come out today, is there data that's lagging these numbers type of things? So what we hear today from a snapshot, we could be in a worse position today, but the data that's coming out today is from 90 days or 100 days prior?
Definitely, even more than that. So the rental data that they collect, so rent rates across Canada, we saw in the last 30 days that rental rates in the major markets, most major markets, I don't think all, I'd say 85-90% of major markets in Canada, rental rates are starting to fall again. That's going to take 6 to 9 months to show up in the Bank of Canada's data. So that's why I say with a 1.6% inflation rate, we're looking at 0.3 or 0.4 of that being due to rent inflation. And if that's now falling, you have a great deal of that inflation rate that's now going to go away. And then if you look at another major component of that 1.6% inflation, it's interest, mortgage interest rate inflation. And that means everyone's paying more on their mortgages than they were in the past.
Yeah.
Well, that's starting to lessen as well with the rates coming down. So like you said, we're in this position where that 1.6, if you actually had up-to-date today data, which we don't, everything lags, takes time to collect things, takes time to see trends, that 1.6 probably falls into the 0.8, 0.9. And now we're, like I said, we're in fears of seeing some deflation in certain categories.
So one thing too, you hear a lot out there is like you talked about it just really briefly there about mortgage interest and stuff like that. And there's been, you know, depending on what you read, some people will say, well, if you just cut the mortgage rates, that's going to get our inflationary numbers into the original target of 2% prior when we're up much higher than that. With these continued rate cuts, and I think, you mean, I'd love to pick your brain on what you think is going to happen December 11th, but assuming it falls under maybe 50 basis points, how much of that is really going to dramatically impact that inflationary number as we watch these rates fall?
Well, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I personally think the Bank of Canada is going to go 50 basis points again December 11th. I'm not betting burritos on it this time, but that is my gut, especially because we saw some retail sales numbers come out today.
Yep.
And retail sales were a slight miss, slightly under where they're expected. But the actual interesting piece of data was the core retail sales. It was a pretty big negative number when they thought it was going to be positive. And that means stuff you're spending on your essentials, like your everyday groceries, of course, things like that in retail spending. People are spending less. So there's less money being circulated on those goods.
Yep.
And that's talking about how kind of weak the economy is, especially given our population growth. You know, and then the other thing that I think the Bank of Canada is keeping a real close watch on is the unemployment numbers. So they also released latest unemployment numbers, and there's just about, it's about 497,000 Canadians right now on unemployment insurance.
Wow.
Which is up 1.5% from the last data release, but a little scary. And if we look at the job creation numbers, you know, we're creating 20 or 30,000 jobs a month, but we have 83 to 85,000 new immigrants coming into the country every month. So we're actually going backwards in our job creation. We're starting to see that in the, not just the employment rate, but the participation rate in the employment economy as well. And I think that's really what's going to make the Bank of Canada cut again, and like another 50 basis points. And then it was interesting to see actually before this last cut, sort of 4 or 5 days before, we saw something enter the kind of the chat that no one's talked about, is this a 75 basis point cut. And although everyone knew that it wasn't going to happen at this last October rate cut, there was a 25% chance. And there was actually a greater chance that they went 75 basis points than they went 25 basis points. And I think that speaks to sentiment of the economy. Not that anyone thought that the Bank of Canada was going to come out with 0.75 points, but they just said, you know, bigger is more likely than smaller. And I think that still holds true. I think the betting odds as of yesterday when I looked, 50 basis points is far out running the 25 basis point numbers right now.
Is there a chance December 11th, with this data continuing to probably slide, that a 75 basis point drop could be in the cards?
I don't think so, because if you look at the US, I mean, our currency, when we cut 50 basis points, took a bit of a slide. I actually texted one of my clients I've met today, and I said, hey, good news. I made some phone calls for you. Not only did I get you a 50 basis point cut from the Bank of Canada, but I got you a weaker Canadian peso as well. So when you come spend your American dollars, it's a lot better up here for you. We can't let the currency slide too much further, or we're going to start importing inflation just on that. It also panics the market. If you do a 50 followed by a 75, the market's going to say, what's wrong? What do you know that we don't know? And that's what happened in the US when the Fed came out with a 50 basis point cut to start their cutting cycle. What's interesting in the US is after the Fed cut 50 basis points in the US, the 10-year Treasury went on an absolute rip. And it's where it was, I think, 6 months ago. I think it went up almost half a point in the last 60 days.
Can you unpack that a little bit more for our listeners there, what that really means?
Yeah, so it's essentially the bond market betting that interest rates aren't actually going to stay low for a long time because they think inflation is going to reaccelerate in the US. At this point, the Canadian and the US economies have diverged a lot. The US economy is still showing strong. I'd argue that the Bureau of Labor Statistics is probably fudging their numbers a little bit. They did have to readjust a couple months ago, 800,000 jobs that turns out didn't exist. We're in election season, so things are kind of made up right now in the States. But there's just this big concern in the States about employment, but inflation isn't coming down in the same way in the US as it is in Canada. The economic growth is still very strong in the US. Job numbers are stronger than Canada. The US economy is actually doing relatively well in comparison to Canada, where Canada is crumbling before our eyes, kind of, you know, and hopefully we get that turned around. But right now it's two different economies, very, very different looks at it.
So we just had our provincial election here, which we still don't know the results of yet. We have our federal election in Canada coming up in 2025. They have their federal election down south coming up next month. If Trump gets in, which love him or hate him, I think that's probably what's going to happen. Does that add to the inflationary issue down there with him being very America first type approach to business?
You know, it's interesting because there is a real shift about 2.5 weeks ago in how the markets are not just pricing, like the betting markets pricing the Trump victory in, but the investment markets. They've kind of all switched over to an assumption that he's going to win. So I think you're going to see, you know, if he gets in, you will see some more inflationary pressure. But he's openly, you know, Trump has openly claimed that his plan is to grow the U.S. economy so fast that it makes the U.S. debt not look like an issue anymore, right? Because we talked debt to GDP ratios, like you owe X amount based on, you know, as compared to your country's total gross domestic output. And his plan is to grow the gross domestic output so much that percentage falls. Whether he can do it or not, I don't know. I mean, if he does half the things he said, it's going to be a really interesting 4 year.
Yeah. Now, with that being said, how does that impact Canada, considering our economy is probably in a weaker position and probably heading that direction versus they seem like they're heading upwards, we're kind of sliding. How would that impact Canadians positively or negatively, assuming a Trump victory?
Yeah, I think we'd see a weakening Canadian dollar, at least until we get a wholesale change in our federal government. You're right that Trump is very America first. I mean, a lot of the things people don't realize is that when he says America first, he kind of counts a lot of the Canadian resources in America. Like when he talks about oil reserves, he's counting all of the Canadian oil reserves, the American oil reserves, which is very interesting, you know, being a sovereign nation with the longest undefended border in the world.
Yeah.
But you know, it's one of those things. Typically a rising tide floats all boats, but I do think that we'd see a stronger US dollar in comparison to the Canadian dollar, and that may cause some short-term issues.
Yeah.
Overall, a strong North American economy is good for everyone involved.
Looking at the Canadian election coming down the pike, I think a lot of people in the business community would like to see Mr. Trudeau not be there after that. Assuming he's no longer in power and potentially a conservative victory there, how would that impact the Canadian economy with a conservative outlook versus the current situation that the Liberals have us in?
Yeah, I think it would be an interesting change. I don't think it would be a negative change at all. You know, you saw the Liberal government come out, I think yesterday, readjusting their immigration targets downwards by 25%. I think you would see a conservative government continue to adjust that downwards even further.
Yeah.
The Liberal government has used immigration to help prop up the growth of the Canadian economy. Essentially, we've added somewhere in the order of 3 to 4 million people in the last 3 years. And although our GDP is barely growing, if you look at GDP per capita, which is GDP per person, it's falling.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The alarming stat is at this point now, with the Canadian dollar falling, but also our productivity falling, we are less productive or less affluent than residents in the state of Alabama, which is the lowest state in the U.S.
With all due respect to Alabama.
Yeah, of course.
With all due respect to people in Alabama. We might have a listener there. We don't know exactly because the Apple stats aren't as... I was
going to say, your three listeners, yeah, can feel free to send me hate mail.
Yeah. No,
but I do think that a conservative win would help the economy just because it's a change. You know, people would get, okay, things are changing. It's just sentiment more than anything. And then we'll see what the policies are. I mean, everyone who thinks that a new conservative government would immediately reverse the capital gains tax change, I think, is probably a little foolish, because unfortunately, the current government has spent so much money we don't have that there's a real revenue problem.
Yeah.
I mean, they blew past their, we're not going to be more than $40 billion in deficit in any year by, it looks like, $9 billion this year. That money's got to come from somewhere.
Yeah.
So I do think, you know, you would see a very positive change. It would take time. You can't turn an economy on a dime. It's like a big ship, right?
Yeah.
It takes time.
Yeah, no, I kind of agree with you on there. I think this is one of the challenges with the political realm is if someone who's running your country, with all due respect to teachers who was teaching drama not too long ago and all of a sudden now is thrust into running a country, I think it just has problems waiting to happen. So I think a lot of people are probably looking forward to change.
The best quote was in 2016, the budget will balance itself. I can assure you it hasn't. Followed by a wonderful quote in 2020 or 2021, when asked, I believe Justin Trudeau said, "I don't think about monetary policy." And it shows in Canada now.
Yeah. Well, I think me and you both just signed up for an audit. So... talking about 2024, where we're heading to 2025, what do you think the balance of 2024 looks like? And then what does 2025 look like, assuming things are going in the direction that we've sort of previously talked about?
Yeah, so it's been interesting to see kind of how the big banks and everyone is reacting to what's going on kind of dynamically. I do think, you know, CIBC is now, I think CIBC, National, RBC are all calling for a 50 basis point cut. Scotia hasn't updated their forecast, but I think they probably will too. What's been really interesting is where people are starting to call the terminal rate, which is where we end up with the Bank of Canada rate. When we started the cutting cycle, the terminal rate was forecast to be around 3%. That's now fallen in 3 of the 6 major forecasts to 2.25%.
Wow.
So we're going to see more cuts, and they're going to keep going into next year. There is still the mortgage cliff, renewal cliff coming. You have all the mortgages that were taken out during COVID at crazy low rates start renewing in June-ish of next year. So they have to get everything they can on the table for cuts before then.
Yeah, okay.
We'll see. You know, I don't know if we're going to get 50, 50, 50. I think we're going to get 50, which we've seen, another 50, and then they'll taper to 25s to see where they go, where they end up.
So how does this impact commercial real estate? Obviously, there's a tie there. Interest rates and economy tie quite closely together. How does this impact the commercial real estate realm, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think, you know, it helps a lot on any of the construction side. You know, construction debt's usually related to what you see in prime rate plus a certain amount above, depending on how well your lender likes you.
Yeah.
I think it helps on a lot of bridge debt. It helps on lines of credit. The bond market is really what's needed to help on the mortgage side. And I do think we'll see the bond market slowly tick down over the next 6 months. Anyone who's thinking that we're going to see rates at COVID rates again, to get there, we'd have to have all of the wheels fall off the Canadian economy. And it would be a much worse time than the benefit we get from low mortgage rates. But I do think we're going to see, you know, some more rates come off over the next 6 months.
Yeah.
And I think we'll probably hit our floor in June or July. Maybe we get one more Bank of Canada cut into the fall next year if things haven't turned around. But the days of big cuts, I think, will be over by the end of, you know, the first half of the second quarter. And then we'll just kind of be wait and see. We're already seeing pickup in commercial real estate.
Yeah.
We're seeing volumes pick up. We seem to pick up a bunch of stuff just picking up. A lot more interest, more offers at the table with things. Deals kind of working through that maybe wouldn't have penciled 3 or 4 months ago or penciling now.
Yeah.
I would like to tell any owners of commercial real estate listening that just because rates have come down, your value has not gone up.
Yeah.
Please don't think that. It just means that we could probably finance this deal finally.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you. It's funny you bring that up because so many landowners, the minute the interest rates fall, their property that it couldn't sell before, all of a sudden has gone up in higher value because the rates have fallen. And to your point, it couldn't sell before because it couldn't pencil or couldn't get financing. It didn't mean that your property was worth that then. Now it's going to be worth more now because of it. Just it means now that the property can probably transact where it couldn't before.
And that's the thing. You know, you're going to get 3 debt quotes you like rather than 1 debt quote that you'll tolerate. Yeah. And that's nice, you know, and it gives you a little bit, it makes deals easier when you're looking at loan to values. You know, it'll impact your debt service coverage ratio a little bit. So maybe we can get some deals across the line we couldn't because they weren't cash flowing enough before.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do think we need to remember that sort of the average interest rate over the last 15 years is like 4.5%.
Yeah.
So thinking that we're going to get commercial paper back in the low 3s, you know, I don't think that's a reality, and it won't be for, you know, you won't see that for long periods of time. But one thing I was told today at a meeting I was in with people far smarter than I am with far more money than I'll ever have is, you know, it's easy to make money when money's free. This is where we figure out who can actually make money.
Yeah.
No, I think that's what we're going to see is good operators are going to do well. And a lot of the, I put my money here and my property value went up 40% and then I sold it. Those deals are probably going away.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm always, a lot of people, a lot of smart people at the table always sort of confirm that there's more money to be made in a bad market than a good market, because all those people that are just throwing money at deals that don't know what they're doing, that drive prices up for everybody, those are the people that are underwater right now. And it's the people on the smart money side that are acquiring the properties with a clear path to how that property will exit at some point in time and really picking up equity and picking up good properties at a really, really deflated price, in my opinion. Moving forward, they're going to be the smartest people in the room when we come out on the other side.
Yeah, I do agree with that. I think there's still really good deals to be had. And we had this talk, probably a year and a bit ago, that if you can stomach a little bit of a higher interest rate knowing where we're going and get a good deal on the property, it's probably worthwhile. You know, if you can get a good pricing deal, you can fix the rate later.
Yep. No, and you can take, and we watch it too, that people will take a great property and put horrible debt on it and turn it into a dud. And you can take an okay property and put great debt on it and make it a good asset. So I think the second year point there. Pat, before we let you go, we know you're in New York. We know it's Friday afternoon in New York. You want to probably get on with your day. But before we let you go, we have our six pack of lighthearted questions. Can we get you to hang out for just a few more minutes?
Yep, that sounds great.
The six pack is powered by our good friends over at Redpoint Law.
Redpoint Law, Corey, Tim, Falco, Scott, and the team. These are great people with a wealth of experience when it comes to commercial closings and private lending. And I just want to say, Corey, not to cut you off, they have a perfect 5-star review on Google.
So for all your commercial legal needs, visit them at redpointlaw.ca with offices in Vancouver and now open in downtown Kelowna. First one up, Pat. A book recommendation for our listeners doesn't necessarily have to be real estate related.
I think last time I was on, I can't remember. I think I said Grit. I think it's by Angela Duckworth.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, it's still one of my recommendations. I'll be honest, I've kind of moved to podcasts a lot more than books. So I listen to this podcast, of course, plus a bunch of other kind of real estate finance podcasts. And that's where I spend my time rather than reading. So I don't know if you want me to give plugs to any other podcasts other than this.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, I listen to podcasts day and night. Throw one out there.
There's a great podcast. It's out of the US. It's by two bankers in California. One's, I think, the COO or CFO of a mid-tier bank. It's called The Higher Standard. Okay. They do a really good job of breaking down economic ideas, terms, and if you're looking for more knowledge on interest rates and where things are going, and although it's US focused, it helps. That's a great podcast.
Good suggestion. Next question up.
Your best business advice.
Best business advice you've received.
I think the best business advice is that if it costs you your peace, it's not worth it. So like if it's costing you your headaches, your time, everything, and it's all consuming and it's not going anywhere, life's too short, it might not be worth doing.
Yeah, no, that's good advice. Because one thing you see in our industry, there's always the next deal. A lot of people, like, you know, I mean, if you this one doesn't work, don't force it. There's always going to be another one. You got to sleep. Next question up, Pat. What are your thoughts on the Lincoln Lawyer? I'll share my opinion after, but what are your thoughts on the series so far?
Yeah, so far I like it. I mean, it's kind of that great redemption story. You know, a lawyer who had a rough go and then is trying to get back. And of course, he gets thrown in the deep end and figures out how to swim out of it. So yeah, I'm a fan of it so far.
Yeah, no, I think it was good. I think the challenge, I think when I first, it took me a while to get into it because I think I thought it was going to be like Suits 2.0. So which, you know, nothing can live up to Harvey Specter. Let's just call a spade a spade. Harvey Specter, Nickelback, the pedestal is hard to keep up to. So, but I would say after about 6 episodes, I really got into it. So I'm watching season 3 right now. So,
you know, Harvey Specter does not listen to Nickelback. I just want you to think about that.
I think we're going to have to find a new co-host.
All right. Next question. Advice you'd give to your 20-year-old self?
Other than the, you know, the standard buy Bitcoin. just, you know, try to enjoy everything along the road. You know, I've been through a bunch of different careers, done a bunch of different stuff, and everything that I've done has led to where I am. And at this point at 40, coming on 41, I probably wouldn't change any of it. So just enjoy it.
Good advice. Good advice. Pat, you're in New York City. The World Series is about to start. Is New York going to bring it home?
It's funny. First of all, no, the Dodgers are definitely going to win.
Okay, there we go.
I'm in a safe corner. Second of all, I'm with the wife and she's like, oh, the World Series is on. Maybe we should go. And I was like, first of all, they're playing in LA where we're here. And second of all, I love you, but not $3,500 US a ticket. Love you. No, we're not going.
So we have a Dodgers win is what you're saying. Dodgers are bringing it home.
Yep.
Dodgers are bringing it home here. Last question up, Pat.
All right. Something you've bought for under $1,500 that's changed your life.
In a positive way.
In a positive way. Has had a positive impact on your life.
AirPods. They are the best thing ever.
AirPods.
I actually just had to replace mine because the battery stopped working because they use them so much. And they make walking and working and doing things so much easier than holding a phone to your head.
I think when we ask that question, that is probably the answer we get the most of. And I remember I never had AirPods forever and I was given to them as a gift. And I thought, oh, AirPods, what are these going to do? I use them 24/7 to the point if I'm in Burnaby and I live in Coquitlam, if I'm in Burnaby and I forgot my AirPods, I will turn around and drive home. That's how much AirPods are a positive impact on everyone who has them. So if you don't have AirPods, go get them. Recommending, go get AirPods. We're 100%. Trying to get an Apple sponsorship here. Go get AirPods.
They're not calling back, Corey.
They're not. No one's calling us back. But Pat, for all those who want to find out more about what you're doing over in Victoria or the self-storage or anything like that, how can our listeners get a hold of you?
Yeah, email's great. pat@williamwright.ca. I did give my cell phone out last time. Not going to this time because the number of spam calls I'm currently getting is pretty absurd. But send me an email, and if you want to know about storage or anything we're up to in Victoria, we got a great team over there. Or if there's any other William Wright stuff, reach out to your local broker. But yeah, just send me an email.
Excellent. Well, Pat, thank you so much for taking the time. I know you're in New York there to break all this down for us. We really appreciate it as always.
Thanks, Pat.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, thanks, Pat. Take care. Bye bye. There you have it, folks, our interview today with Pat Wood of our William Wright Victoria office, unpacking interest rates, economy, what's next for 2024 and 2025.
Great conversation.
Always great having Pat on the show. All the guys in Victoria there do such a phenomenal job for us. And Pat today, as I said on the podcast, was calling in from Toronto, the self-storage conference. Connor and Pat were at the self-storage conference. So Pat graciously made some time for us today because we wanted to talk all about this big 50 basis points and what it means. But I can tell on your face right now, either you've just seen a ghost or you've opened up the Wildflower Pizza website on your phone.
Nobody's going to believe you're not sponsored by this pizza company.
I'm trying. I'm desperately trying. We don't have to get any money. Just if they just drop off the pizza once a week, that's more than enough.
Right. We're looking for sponsorship.
So I've known you for a while.
Uh-huh.
And you're not scared to ever make fun of me or tell me I'm an idiot.
That's right.
When it comes to Nickelback and stuff like that.
I think the first time I really met you, I made an emphasis that you were, I think I called you gingerbread. And you were, the look on your face was like,
yeah,
I can't believe this girl just said this.
Yeah. Yeah.
But well, I don't care.
You can't really tell I have red hair now because it's like almost gray. I look more like a walking Cheerio stick at this point with the cinnamon and sugar in my hair. But I can tell on your face that I haven't seen you stunned or taken back too many times, but right now, by the look on your face, I'm guessing you're looking at the Wildflower Pizza website.
This looks amazing.
Yes. There you
and
go.
I just want everybody to know so you can find it. It's Wildflower, like flower, like
F-L-O-U-R.
Yeah.
Wild.
That's right.
Flower.
Yeah.
Pizza. Yeah.
That's right.
So,
okay.
So there you go. So now you understand what I'm getting at earlier.
That's right.
There you go. So Melissa, I'm always curious, 50 basis point drop. It hasn't reflected yet in your world, but are the phones ringing since that announcement? Are people coming back to the table? Is the buyer list getting bigger?
I think it's a bit too soon
for
me to notice, but I think there's a lot of positive emphasis on what's going to happen in the next few months. So
what is your prediction on the residential side? Considering we might have another 50 basis points December 11th.
Yeah, I think things are going to get quite busy.
Yeah. Right?
Inventory's been piling up in the last year. Things have kind of leveled out a little bit. Prices have come down a little bit in some areas, not extreme, but now buyers are going to be coming back.
There you go. So buy now is what you're saying.
Well, you should have bought last week with me when I told you to, but that's fine. Now is better than
last
week. I would say you're better off being a buyer now.
Yeah.
Or in the next couple of months, then you're going to be in the spring or, even January, February.
So when you say last week, that's when you were like very like graciously bragging about how many deals you were doing and the market wasn't doing.
Absolutely not. What happened?
You know, I was thinking like, you know, people follow, I can't remember the guy's name, Dave something. He's with Barstool Sports and he does the pizza reviews.
Oh.
We should start doing food reviews on a monthly basis as part of our shtick, whether it be pizza or sushi or whatever it is, we should start doing food reviews.
I haven't eaten breakfast, so this is really hard
for
me.
But I get up at 3:30, so I'm like borderline dinner,
right? Dinner.
I'm pretty much dinner at this point.
Woo!
That we should do food reviews. We'll DoorDash it to the recording studio and we can do food reviews.
Mm. That's a whole other podcast.
As part of our outro.
It's a whole other podcast, but I like it. I'm here for it.
Okay. All right. Just food for thought. Food for thought.
All right, Corey, how can we get a hold of you?
So for all those people who want to do commercial real estate, you can reach us anytime at our Vancouver office, 604-428-5255. Let us know what you're looking for. We'll put you in touch with the best broker in the province that can help you. You can visit our website, williamwright.ca, or you can send me an email, corey@williamwright.ca. Always love hearing from listeners. Always, I get lots of great ideas for shows. People talk about stuff they want to hear covered. So please feel free to send us emails anytime. And from Melissa, for those who want to go buy and sell real estate on the residential side, how can our listeners get a hold of you?
Yeah, you can call me 778-869-4477 or email me at melissa@vancouverrealestatepodcast.com.
We'll be back next week with another great episode, guys.
All right.
Thanks for listening.
Subscribe today.